Hey Vineyard Church, how are you doing today? You doing good? Man, it's so great to see you. Whether you're joining us online or in person, I am excited that you're here today. If you're a guest or a visitor, maybe this is your first time, let me extend a special welcome to you. I really hope that you've met some friendly people and, of course, experienced God's presence. Let me introduce myself to you. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. Hey, can we quickly give a hand to everyone who was water baptized today? Isn't that so inspiring, just witnessing like God transforming lives right in front of us? And you know, I'm so grateful that we get to do that sort of thing on a regular basis and that we get to worship God in multiple locations. You know, we have our VC campus here in Glendale, we have our Reveal campus over in Surprise, and we have our online viewers who are joining us right now, and they are faithfully there every weekend from not just all around the country, all around the world. So will you join me in giving some love to our online community right now? We love you guys. Thank you for joining us. So we're going to be continuing our sermon series today called The Gospel of Money. And we're going to learn from the Bible about the heart of a giver. So if you have a Bible with you, maybe you have an app on your phone or your laptop or your watch or your tablet or whatever it is that you brought with you, could you please turn to the book of Romans? The book of Romans chapter 10, verse 13. That's the first piece of scripture that we're going to be looking at today. And then if you missed the first message in this series, you know, you could always check out our YouTube channel or our website. We have archives there of all of our past messages. So I'd recommend going back and listening to the first message. Not right now, maybe tomorrow, if you missed that. And then before we get into the message, I want to quickly take a moment to thank those of you who faithfully give to God through the Vineyard. You know, if it wasn't for your faithful generosity, you know, we wouldn't be able to do any of the ministry that we do here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix. You know, not just the transformed lives that we saw today, but we have ministries that go on every single day of the week. We have a food and clothing bank that's open 7 days a week where we feed and clothe hundreds of people. We have a free medical clinic. We have many, many ministries that serve our church community, our local community, and even people all around the world. It's crazy. So we wouldn't be able to do that with you. And when you give to God through the Vineyard, I want you to know that it's really making a difference in people's lives. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a huge deal. So let's pray together. Could the ushers please come forward to receive the offering? We're going to pray for the offering, that God would bless that. And we're also going to pray that God would open our hearts and our minds as we learn from his word today, the Bible. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can gather here today to worship you, Lord. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is already here. And God, as we give a portion of our income back to you, would you bless that money, Lord? Would you use it to minister to your children, Father? And God, would you bless us as the givers, Lord? Would you remind us of your faithfulness? And as we learn from your word, the Bible, would you speak clearly to us today, God? Would you open our ears and our hearts to learn from you? If there's anything that I've forgotten to prepare, would you drop that into my mind right now? We want to learn from you today, Jesus, and it's in your powerful name that I pray. Amen. So I bet that I could create all kinds of different emotions if through some devious means, I had the ability to put all of your personal 2024 financial data up on the video screens for everyone to see. How would that make you feel? Now, how would you feel if your picture came up on the video screen and then it showed exactly what you earned in 2024 and it also showed exactly what you spent your money on in 2024? I would imagine that if I was able to do that, we'd probably have to lock the back doors because most of us would be running out, right? Some of you would be absolutely horrified at the thought of being publicly exposed about your money in that way. But why is that? Why do you think that money is such a big deal? You know, money is such a big deal because we intuitively know that you can tell a whole lot about a person by how they spend their money. You know, what would appear on those video screens would be very revealing about what you are like as a person. You know, the way a person spends their money shows what is important to that person. It shows what we truly value. You know, you and I can say whatever we want to as far as what's important to us. But all you have to look at is your calendar and your checkbook, your debit account, and that shows what's actually important to you. You know, what's really important to someone is proven by how they spend their time and how they spend their money. Now, you may not have thought about this, but if we went through all of your expenditures for 2024, one thing we would be able to find out is how you feel about God. We would find out whether God is really important to you or not. We would be able to find out if you worship God with just your lips or if you worship God with your resources, your money. You know, by looking at your finances, we'd also find out how compassionate you are toward other people. Now, if we went through your finances and there was no record whatsoever of you ever giving to somebody in need, there was no money or help going to anyone less fortunate than you, any poor people, it would show us something about you, wouldn't it? Now, we could also determine from your financial data what you really enjoy as far as recreation and pleasure and how important those things are to you. Now, we could probably determine how much you're into your house and your clothes and your sneakers, your car, etc. We could see how important those kinds of things are to you. Now, if we looked at your finances from last year, we could probably determine how disciplined of a person you are. We could probably see how frugal, how careless, how lavish you are. You know, the fact is, you can tell a lot about a person by how he or she spends their money. Ideally, if you manage your money the way God wants you to, there would be no embarrassment whatsoever about having your financial data put up on those video screens for everybody to see. But many of us aren't managing our money the way God wants us to. Many of us aren't disciplined in our money management. Many of us aren't as careful in money management matters as we would like to be. So knowing how personal the topic of money is, I want to frame it with two personal questions today. The first one is, can I trust God? Can I trust God? And the second one is, do I trust God? Do I trust God? And during the message, what I want us all to do is to think and pray about those two questions. God, can I trust you? And God, do my actions show that to be true? Sooner or later, every person has to determine for themselves whether or not God can be trusted. You know, that is an individual decision that every person has to deal with. Every person has to say, is God trustworthy? Will God keep his promises? And let me ask you, do you believe that? Are you truly convinced that God is absolutely trustworthy? Now, if you're here today and you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, then somewhere along the line, you came to the conclusion that God is trustworthy. You came to a point in your life where you saw your own sinfulness before a holy God. You came to understand that you could not save yourself, no matter how hard you might try. You came to the conclusion that you needed a savior in your life, and you trusted in the Bible when it told you in Romans 10:13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you called upon Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to become the leader of your life. Jesus became your Lord. And after you did that, you found that with respect to salvation, God can be trusted. God keeps his promises. You know, God said, call out to me and I'll respond. So you called out and God honored his word. He proved himself trustworthy. Now, if you've grown much in your Christian faith, you've also begun to realize that God is trustworthy in all areas of life. You've learned by now that God's word, the Bible, can be trusted. It's tried and true. You believe the psalmist who wrote, "As for God, his way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true." Now, if you're a mature Christian here today, you've found that you can build a marriage on what God says in the Bible. You can build a family. You can establish moral values. You have found that God's word can be trusted. You can trust God for salvation, and you can trust God for the truthfulness of the Bible. If you have matured in Christ, somewhere along the line, you have found out that the Holy Spirit of God can be trusted too. You know, many of you have learned that God's guidance is true. You found that as you entrust your life to God, he charts a path for your life. And you found that God's path for your life can be trusted. Now, I've been a Christian since childhood, and I've found that God can be trusted across the board. I look at the way that God has guided my life, and it amazes me. I'm so thankful for how God has charted a course for my life that I would never have charted for myself. And God has been leading and directing my life as I've submitted to him. You know, God guided me from the UK to living here in the desert of Arizona. And anytime God asks me to begin a new endeavor of some sort, no matter how strange I might feel about it, I now have a track record where I can look back and see God's faithfulness to me over the years. Can you relate to that? You know, I have a track record with God to look back on. I could ask myself, has God been faithful every step along the way my whole Christian life? The answer was yes. Has God led and charted a path for my life that's been right? It's been the right path all the way along. Yes. Has God been faithful every time that he's led me to do something? Yes. Has God been gracious and supplied me with power and given me the ability to do whatever job he asks me to do? Yes. Has God always been faithful? The answer is yes. God can be trusted. And knowing that helped me to say yes to all kinds of things that he's asked me to do, even moving across the whole world. So the bottom line in all of this is I want you to know God can be trusted. Now you might be thinking, that's great. What does that have to do with money? See, giving money is much more of a trust issue than a monetary issue. It's much more of a trust issue. At the very heart of the whole issue of giving money to the Lord is whether or not I can trust God. That is the key issue. You know, we're not talking dollars and cents today. We're talking about faith. Faith based on God's word and God's trustworthiness. Because God says, if you obey me, by giving a portion of your income to me, I will pour out all kinds of blessings on your life. In fact, he says, I will pour out so many blessings that you won't be able to take them all in. You know, some of the places he's talked about these kinds of things are in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. He says, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Then in the book of 2 Corinthians says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. The book of Proverbs, a book all about wisdom, says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. These are just three examples in the Bible that say when we give a portion of our earnings to God, God promises to return a blessing to our life. Not a little blessing, not a blessing in passing, but a significant multiplying kind of blessing. And God says, do you believe me when I make these kinds of promises to you? Will you trust me? Will you allow me to prove myself to be faithful to you in this area? Throughout the centuries, countless Christians have taken God at his word with respect to giving money. And as you might guess, these Christians would stand up at any time and give witness to the fact that God has proven himself trustworthy in this matter. They would tell you that God keeps his promises. They would tell you that God poured out all kinds of blessings on them as they obeyed God with their finances. And for whatever it's worth, I would have the same testimony for you today. I have found that God is incredibly trustworthy when I obey him with my finances. I mean, just look at the amazing things that God has done with the money that our church has given to him. Look at this building that we're in. Look at the lives that have been transformed because of him. Because faithful people who call Vineyard Church North Phoenix their home have trusted in God and given him a portion of their earnings so that he can use it to transform lives. So with the time that we have left, I want to get very practical and talk to you about four ways the Bible encourages all people to give to God. The first way is the tithe. Now, tithing refers to giving God the first 10% of everything that we earn. All through the Bible, from the time of Abraham all the way through to the New Testament where Jesus affirms the tithe, the Bible says that God's people are to take the first 10% of everything they earn, you know, their salary, their bonuses, their commissions, their unexpected windfalls, etc., any form of income, and give the first 10% of it to the Lord. Now, if you're interested, here are just a few of the scriptures that talk about us bringing 10% of all of our income to God. I'm not going to read all of them right now because that would take a little bit too long, but they're on the screens, so you can take a photo of them if you want and you can read them in your own time. But you can look at Genesis 14, 19 through 20, Leviticus 27, 30, Malachi chapter 3, 10, that's a very famous one, Matthew 23, 23, Hebrews chapter 7, and 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. This kind of charts a course from the Old Testament, Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, all the way through to the New Testament, where you can see God teaching his followers the tithe. Now, one common question that people ask is, where do I give the tithe? Well, the Bible says to give it to God's house, no, the storehouse. We see that in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, in God's house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. So what is the storehouse? The storehouse was a designated place within the temple where the people of Israel would bring their tithes, you know, a tenth of their produce, their livestock, their money, and other goods, to support the temple services and to provide for the needs of the poor. So in essence, this storehouse in the Old Testament is the equivalent of the New Testament church. You know, just as the Israelites gave their tithes to God through the temple, we do the same by giving our tithe to God through our home church to support church ministries and to provide for the needs of the poor. I've found that a lot of people may want to break up their tithe. You know, they may want to give a portion of it to a particular Christian ministry or another portion of it to help or support like a family member, an uncle who's in need. Now, they may want to support like Compassion International or something like that. That's great. The problem with that is it's not biblical. You're not obeying God with your tithe when you do that. God says you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, there are ways to give to, you know, other Christian ministries, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes, but the tithe belongs specifically to God through your home church. So why do we tithe? The first reason we tithe is tithing is a tangible symbol of our worship. You might be thinking, how does giving money fit into worship? Didn't we just do that when we were singing? You know, within every heart of Christians is the desire to worship God for who he is. You know, he is such a wonderful God, and God loves it when we spend time worshiping him in song. But God also loves it when his children worship him with their whole lives and also their substance, with their resources. So when we worship God, we surrender every part of ourselves to him. Are you doing that? Now, Christians are to tithe as a tangible symbol of our worship. The next reason that we tithe is tithing is a way of thanking God for all he has done in your life. You know, are you thankful for all that God has done in your life? The psalmist says, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? If you're thankful, like that psalmist, if so, then we are to bring God the first 10% of our income. The third reason that we tithe is because tithing is how we put God first in our lives. The book of Deuteronomy literally says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. When I tithe, I'm saying to God, God, you are number one in my life. You are the most important person in my life. You and I can say God is number one in our life, but if we're not tithing, those are just words. That's why we're to bring the first 10% of our earnings. You know, we don't pay our bills first. We don't go out and take our wives or our girlfriends to dinner first. We give our money to God first, that first 10%, and then we do whatever we want with the rest. The fourth reason we tithe is because tithing shows we trust God. When we bring our tithe to God, what we're saying is, God, as I give you this tithe, I know that you'll certainly bring a return back to me. Tithing shows that I really do trust God. Not only does God say that he'll bring back blessing to us when we obey him with the tithe, no, but he says that he'll do it, that he'll also restrain the attacks of the evil one, of the devil, when we tithe. If we look back on that verse in Malachi, we'll read a little bit further into verse 11. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, all kinds of blessing, that is, not just financial, but spiritual, relational, emotional blessings, until it overflows. Then listen carefully. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you. He's talking about Satan, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. You know, it can be easy to forget, but we have an enemy. And the enemy wants to come and steal and kill and destroy your life. He wants to do that in your marriage, in your business, in your health, your relationships, your finances. But God says, if you're faithful in the tithe, I will restrain the attacks of Satan against you. That's a promise that he makes. Now, the other thing I want to point out here is this is the only verse in the whole Bible where God says that we can test him in this. God is challenging us in this. God says, I dare you to see if I really exist or not. And here's how you do it. Begin to tithe. That's the only place in the Bible God allows himself to be put to the test. Now, let me be clear. God didn't have to make this promise. God is God. He could have just said, I own everything you have, so give me the first 10%. But he didn't. He loves us, so he says, when you do that, I'll prove myself to you. You need to know, God is not the least bit worried, you know, whether or not he has the capacity or the ability to bring blessing into your life. He says, you will find me faithful. I can be trusted. But you must demonstrate your faith in my trustworthiness by giving me the whole tithe. So let me ask you, are you demonstrating your confidence in God's ability to bless you by faithfully giving him your tithe? Are you doing that? Or are you not trusting God? You know, as I said earlier, this whole issue is about trust. It's not about money. And there may be some of you here who say, I just can't trust that God is going to keep his promise in this. I'm unsure about it. If that's you, let me address you for a moment. If you are a follower of Christ, how can it be that you can trust God for your salvation, your eternal destiny, and not trust him with your money? How is it that you can say you trust God for strength to handle the challenges of life, but you can't trust him with your tithe? How is it that you can say that you trust God to answer your prayers, but you can't trust him with your tithe? How is it that you can say that you trust God to chart a path for your life, but you can't trust him with your tithe? You know, I feel badly for those of us in this room who are followers of Christ and not tithing. You know, one reason for that is because I know you'll never experience the miracles that the rest of us experience as we trust God to supernaturally intervene in our own personal finances as we bring him the first 10% of our income. So the first kind of giving we're called to do is tithing. The second type of giving, this is after the tithe, that God talks about in the Bible, is offerings. Offerings. So the first type of giving, the tithe, that's for every single Christian, no exemptions. But this second kind of giving, offering, is usually assigned to more mature believers who learn as they mature in their faith how to discern the leading of the Holy Spirit with respect to giving money to more like specialized concerns. You know, as you grow in your faith, God will begin to stir your heart from time to time about special kinds of needs that he wants you to give to. Now, it could be to a Christian organization of some sort. It could be to support a missionary or another ministry of some kind. It also could be to give above or over the tithe to the church that you're a part of, or it could be to support a particular ministry of that church, like a building project or something like that. In Philippians chapter 4, we read that the Christians of the church in Philippi were tithing and also supporting their own church family, but they were also getting very excited about the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So in addition to their regular tithe to the church, they began to support Paul as he went out doing his ministry, you know, teaching, church planting, evangelizing, etc. We read about this in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, starting verse 15. This is Paul speaking. He says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. You know, over time, that sort of thing is going to happen to you. Some special project, inside or outside of this church, you're going to find yourself wanting to give to. And when you do that, that's called an offering. Now, just to make sure you understand this correctly, an offering can only be made to God after your tithing. The tithe always comes first. Now, the third type of giving the Bible talks about is giving to the poor, or almsgiving. Almsgiving means giving money or other things such as food, clothing, cars, etc. to poor people or people in need. And Jesus says it's to be done in secret. That means not letting other people know that you're doing it. Now, he says in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, he says, "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men." He said, "Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." In other words, it's part of your secret history with God. Tithing is not part of your secret history with God. Tithing is not something that has to be done in secret. That's why it's fine, you know, to pass an offering bag through the church. Tithing is a requirement of being a follower of God. Almsgiving is not. Almsgiving is an option. So you say, how do I do that in secret? You just don't tell a bunch of people about it. You know, maybe you send money to someone in need through another person or through the mail or leave their money in their car or whatever. No, it's okay for the person you give to know who gave it to them, but you don't have to let them know about it. You know, in our modern world, the point is this, just don't put it on Facebook, okay? Don't post to Facebook something like, "I, James, you know, I just gave $500 to VC Compassion Ministry." Who would do that? I mean, Larry Fitzgerald would be pumped. Anyway, that's an example of what not to do. That's fake. That's fake. Now, the fourth type of giving is this, sacrificial giving. This could be called illogical giving, risky giving, bone-chilling giving. Now remember, let's recap. The tithe is for every Christian. Giving an offering or almsgiving is not required. And as you grow in Christ, it will happen more and more with you, but it's not required. It usually happens with more mature Christians. Now, sacrificial giving is often seen as something for those deeply committed in their faith journey. In my experience, many deeply devoted followers of Christ, when asked about this kind of giving, can recall a moment when God prompted them to step out in faith and give more than they ever imagined under very unique circumstances. You know, it's kind of like the widow who gave 2 copper coins that we read about in the Gospel of Luke. You know, we read this story, it says, "While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people putting their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in 2 pennies. I assure you," he said, "this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she has." The widow is basically saying, "I don't know where my next meal is going to come from, but God is leading me to do this, so I'm giving it all. I am going to trust God with this." I want you to know, there may come a time where God tells you to give a tremendous gift to Him. And He may say, "I want you to give a huge gift for this particular cause. I want you to empty your pockets. I want you to empty your bank account. I want you to trust me in this." If and when God ever says that to you, I hope that you'll be found faithful. And if and when God says that to me, I hope I'm found faithful too. So where are you with all of this? Do you trust God? Are you tithing? Or are you tight-fisted with respect to giving money to God? What is God saying to you today about giving to him? You know, money is a very important subject matter to God. Now, it's important you and I learn God's perspective on how to earn money, God's perspective on how to manage money, and God's perspective on how he wants us to give our money. And I know that some of what we've talked about today is very challenging. So some of you might want to, you know, head to our website or our YouTube page and listen to this again. Or some of you might want to talk about it with your small group leader or a trusted Christian friend. That's a great thing to do. But as we bring our time together to a close, I want to spend a few moments in prayer. So would you bow your heads with me as we pray? You know, in these last few moments, I want us to connect with God as best as we know how. You may want to bow your head. You may want to close your eyes. You may want to kneel. It doesn't really matter what you do. There's no like magic trick to it. Just whatever you can do to block out distractions so that you can really hear God's voice. That's what we wanted to do today. We want to hear God's voice. And during this time, if you haven't already, let's ask God those two questions. Do I trust you, God? Now, can I trust you, God? And am I showing that I trust you through my actions? Let's spend some time listening to God's voice. You know, some of us here today who are followers of Christ, we know that we've not been trusting God in the matter of giving the first 10% of our earnings to him. We've not been trusting God with our tithe. And God wants to say to you today that you can trust him. In fact, as we read in the book of Malachi, he wants you to test him in this. He knows it's challenging, that it's difficult, but he wants you to test him in this and see the blessings that he will pour out on your life. In fact, let's take it a step further. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and this is your home church, and you're not yet trusting God with your tithe, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to commit to that. I want to challenge you to commit to giving God the first 10% of your money. Make a commitment today. Draw a line in the sand. Say to God, God, I've been saying that I trust you. And I've been trusting you with all these other areas of my life. But I know I've been keeping this one bit to myself. Because it's scary, but I trust you, God. And make a commitment today. And one of the things that I've found about commitments, especially commitments that I make sitting in church, because I've been going to church my whole life, I have some experience, is I come in, I've had too much coffee, so worship is super exciting. Why am I shaking? It's the caffeine. Sometimes, I'm just kidding. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit, whatever. No, I come in, worship is great. I watch the commercials. I listen to the Bible, what God has to say. Man, I'm challenged. Man, I'm inspired. Oh, I'm thinking about what's for lunch. Tacos sounds good. I get to the lobby, I see my friend. I haven't seen you in ages. I get home. Finally, football season started. I take a nap. Monday starts. I'm in work. I don't remember what happened yesterday at church. Can you relate to that? The best thing to do so that that doesn't happen with the commitment that you just made to God, tell someone. Tell someone you trust, your spouse, your brother, your sister, a close friend in Christ, tell them, hey, I know this is weird, but today in church, I made a commitment to finally trust God with everything that I have, including my money. I want you to hold me accountable. So in a week's time, text me, ask me, email me, hey, are you doing what you said to me? Are you holding true to that commitment? It's amazing how much easier it is to stick with a commitment when we know that someone's going to check up on us, all right? Let's stand, we'll pray together, and then I'll dismiss the service. And could our ministry team please come forward? You know, here at The Vineyard, we love to pray for people, so you may want to receive prayer for something that we talked about today, or you may want to receive prayer for something completely unrelated. You know, you may want to receive healing in some area of your life, physical, emotional, relational healing. I know God still heals today. We've seen it here at The Vineyard time and time and time again. You may want to receive prayer for your finances, for your job, for whatever. We would love to pray for you. We have a ministry team who are friendly, they're trained, they're trustworthy. One of the best things you can do is share with a fellow brother or sister in Christ what's going on and have them lay their hands on you and pray. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you for my friends here today. God, would you prove yourself to be trustworthy in our lives as we commit to giving you the first 10% of our income? Lord, I thank you for your promises and that your promises are true. So would you pour out your blessings on us who trust you with our money? God, would you walk with us through our weeks? Holy Spirit, would your voice be clear to us? And it's in your powerful name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here today. It's great to see you. If you're a guest, check out our guest welcome in the lobby, and we'll see you next week.